I was 50 years old and cycling 5.5 miles from Malta, where I lived, to Lupton School every day, all come all weathers. And I came down in March one morning to bike to school. Father was lighting the fire. And he said, "You can't go to school today, Pete." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, the thrashing box is coming and we've got no labour." So Muggins didn't go to school that day and I never went back to school.
Really?
No. And then I received a letter from Her Majesty saying I was now in a reserved occupation and I must stay put and grow carrots and potatoes and that sort of thing and not join the forces like everybody else that was doing. So I was, you know, told I'd got to stay put, and from then on I'd been farming all my life until I finally packed it up. But, you know, it was so sudden because, I mean, these things happen. I mean, there's plenty of people that have the same sort of experience.
Yeah.
My brother was the only one left on the farm because the wagoner had then retired. We were just the two of us, so. I've had the privilege of doing every job on the farm with horses. Every job. This is why we appreciated the tractors when they came in.
Yeah.
What people didn't realise, you see, when you've got horses, you've also got to grow the energy on the farm.
Yes.
Mm. So about a quarter of what you grew was your fuel to feed the animals.
Mm.
And this is why, of course, we couldn't produce the food they were expecting us to produce until the tractors came in, and then we were able to sell the grain, because you had to feed a horse properly because it was working hard.
Yeah.
You couldn't sort of give them bread and water.
No.
That just wouldn't do.
What grains did you grow to feed them?
Sorry?
What grains did you grow?
Well, it was oats mainly.
Oats,
oats was the popular feed. Mm. The old wagoners, like, they used to start about 6:30, come and feed them and get them ready. And then they'd go off with their old pint, sort of cider, and some grub. And they would have their breakfast in the field, a lot of them. And then they would come back at dinner time. And if you've got enough horses, they'd take a different team out in the afternoon.
Yeah.
They used to, plow, an acre a day was as much as we could do.
Yeah.
And sugar beet was the biggest problem. Oh dear, to grow sugar beet and lug it to the station, putting it in a truck with horses, was just a nightmare. But you see, the little stations were all thriving in that day.
Mm.
The Wolfing station was quite a busy station with fruit. And we used to take our milk down there every night and send it to Birmingham. And season, we had a mushroom season in that day. And always grew plums and all that sort of thing. It all went to Birmingham Market by train.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there was a little place to start for John, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It's a collecting shed where they used to take it all and somebody pick it up from there.
Yeah.
At Newnham Ridge, there is the house there now, but there used to be a thriving little station there between Tenbury and Little Hereford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all times have changed, haven't they?
Mm. Mr. Beechin put paid to that.
Yeah. When you think where the height of the lorries have gone to now, and some of those railway bridges, especially in this part of the world, they were so low that there's no way, well, not even a double-decker bus could get under. So I suppose it's, in that sense, it was a help, but it was a shame they couldn't have kept a few more of them open, because they'd been such an attraction now for people having to pass the time away, wouldn't they?
Yes. Yeah,
well, I mean, the Kidderminster one is still thriving, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the old pig killing was another thing that I used to thrive on.
Yeah.
We used to, several of the cottages around were, it was a big day for them, like, because to kill a pig, it was their rations for the year, you know, it was a really big day. And of course, these pigs were about 400 pounds in weight, big pigs, you know. So you had to get a rope and go to the sty, and you wanted three big men. And I put the rope in the old pig's mouth and dragged it to the bench. You would have a special bench because they were so heavy pigs. And then the three of them rolled it onto the bench. I tied it down with a piece of rope.
Yeah.
And then I got a knife and cut its throat.
Really?
and bled it to death, honestly. Yeah. What do you think about the squeal and the,
I bet.
Honestly. And of course the blood went into a bucket. It was either in one of those old enamel buckets or occasionally a tiny bucket, because that was always kept, you see.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I dropped the belly out,
yeah,
two ladies would take hand leech and off down to the brook they'd go. And they turn that intestine belly completely inside out and wash the whole thing. And everything was used.
Yeah.
The only thing they never used was the squeal. Mm-hmm. They reckon everything else was... And the amazing thing about it, you see, although there wasn't a fridge about, all there was were those little tiny meat saves with that little narrow gauze stuff, mm-hmm, black stuff that the fly is supposed to not be able to get in. And yet nothing was wasted. Mm-hmm. They relied completely on salt and mm-hmm saltpeter. And I used to cut it. I used to hang these pigs up, and let them go cold for 48 hours, and then go back and chop them all up into whatever pieces they wanted. I usually ended up with two big fishes and two hams, and that was the bacon for the year. Yeah. And they used to share quite a bit of stuff, you know, whoever killed the pig. And then after that, it was all salted and hung up and.
Yeah.
I can see my father now, because we used to kill four at home. And in the spring, he'd say, look at the floor. He said, where have you little devils come from? There'd be maggots on the floor, you see. So he'd get up on this old pair of steps. Ah, here you are. So he'd cut them out like this. He'd stick neat saltpeter in the hole. We'd get virtually the lot. And I suppose, looking back upon it, that was our attitude. But sometimes you cook the bacon and you could see the salt on it.
Yeah.
It was shining. But it was all there was.
Yeah.
You know, there was no smoking or that in that day. But yeah. I mean, how, you know, when you think about it, that food would last the whole year.
Yeah.
It was magic, really, that, they managed to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But there you are. We used to have our own Alton Young Farmers Club.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That's how I met my wife. She was a fully trained Northern nurse.
Yeah.
And she qualified and took a job down at a place called Little Heriford, looking after one child.
Yeah.
And we used to have these dances. And of course, I met at one of these dances. And it just went from there. So I was lucky, really. But
yeah.
She'd never been farming in her life, but she took to it like a duck out of water.
Really?
In no time at all. We had chickens, she was dressing them, and oh God, she used to be... Well, she just used to love work.
Yes.
Simple as that. And she got a wonderful art of getting people to join in things, you know.
Yeah.
Tell you what, when she died, they did that, miss.
Yeah. What a little delegator she was, yeah. Worked well.
One of the residents used to say, nobody dare say no to Margaret. She didn't turn spiteful, but she got this knack of having to ask him. And they had the heart to say no.
Oh, brilliant. Mm. Quite amazing that she took it like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Oh. Yeah, so we used to have these young farmers, and say, in that day we had hand milling competitions, sugar beet hoeing competitions. They still have shearing competitions.
Mm.
Certainly at the Three Counties Show they do.
Yes, I've seen those actually.
Definitely. Mm. And then, of course, the New Zealanders came over. They always come over here to shear.
Mm.
They start in the south of England, they work their way north and end up in Scotland before they go back as a rule. Because I had a cousin who used to join them. He used to love shearing. If ever there was a job to do your back in, that was it. But when you think how we used to manhandle these old sheep out of a shed across the yard, and now all they do is put them up a little race, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
How we used to, you know, we never thought about doing things like that, because I suppose there was no hurdles about. You could just dip together like they've got now. You could just make it any as quick as you like. Mm. Now, if you want to move sheep, but this is this bungalow, it's no problem.
Mm.
No. No. You still make a few hurdles, don't you?
Yeah. There's still somebody making wooden ones, isn't there?
Sorry?
Yeah, somewhere.
Wooden ones? Oh, you see it on the television occasionally.
The beauty of those, you can carry a point over your shoulders and still wouldn't have been heavy.
Mm. Woodland management.
I think Bill Sinnett had a lot of wooden ones. A country craft. Hello.
How long did you have it for?
Ever.
He started it up.
Gosh.
Well, it's a family business.
When he came down in 1964,
yeah.
They used to work all day on a Saturday. In the summer this was, and then the two blokes and John used to work Sunday morning till 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And he built the business up over the years.
Good grief.
Yeah. But it's only, it's a revival of an old business, well, we've been there since 1840.
His father used to be the local blacksmith.
Oh, I see. Gosh.
What was the story you used to tell about the dog? You could always get the dog to make a bolt. And they said, what do you mean? He said, kick him up the ass and he'll make a bolt for the door. That was always his favourite story.
That's my boy.
To help him pick him up. Crazy situation.
So is the store still going now?
What?
Is this store still going now?
Yeah.
If you want anything from a screw to a bag of cement to anything you like, as long as you don't start thinking he's going to sell you a tractor because he's given that up. Very wisely too, I think. Yes, it's a very, very handy situation because there's no parking problems. And you'll see them going by here about 8:30 in the morning, the old farmers or people with their trailers on. About half an hour to go down later, they're going back with some rails and posts or bags of cement or big ton bags or something.
Yeah.
You know very well that they only have to nip there and pick it up, and they have no traffic problems, no parking problems.
Yeah.
It's worth its weight in gold, really.
Mm. And you sell just about everything?
Yeah.
Apart from tractors.
We do a big range of clothing there, and that's a goal, isn't it? Because weather waterproof clothing, it's gone from Tenbury. There's a good shop at Tenbury now. Boots and shoes and that.
I hadn't thought about that, because why? There's some rot on the shoes.
And you see they're all bought for farms, so they can get their VAT back.
Oh, yes. Yeah.